This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 168, Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. It's my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, you guys know what we're doing. We've been doing it for 4 months, right? This is the fourth month.
Yeah.
We are on a river, the River of Time. Me and Alex are in a little canoe. We got some paddles. We're paddling up, and we're getting towards the waterfall here because this is our second-to-last movie in the 2000s. This, of course, from the year 2000 exactly, a little Ridley Scott movie, you may have heard of it, called Gladiator. Alex, how long has it been since you have watched this movie?
This is the second time you watching the movie. The first time I watched it is when it was released in 4K. And other than that, I'd never seen it again until today.
Never saw it.
So,
and never saw it before that?
No, never saw it before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, I've seen this a couple of times, but I have not watched it in years. I bought the 4K. I never put it in. Today was the... I didn't even watch the 4K because all my movies are in boxes. So I had to watch... a digital 4K of it, and the digital looked good.
Yeah.
So I would imagine the 4K disc looks fantastic. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Before we get into the review, let's go over some Rotten Tomatoes scores. Now, Alex, I'm going to be honest, I was a little surprised with the Rotten Tomatoes score when I pulled it up, only because this is a Oscar-winning movie. Like, it was nominated for a lot of awards. It won a few awards. This has a 78% critic score. So I don't know, you know, Rotten Tomatoes does add reviews. I don't know if over time, maybe people liked it less, or maybe at the time some critics didn't like it, but I thought it'd be higher, to be honest. Audience score, 87%. So much higher with audiences, not much higher, but higher with audiences than critics. 87 is more along what I thought the critics was going to be. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of weird, right? Like, normally, movies like this would be in the 90s, 91, 92 bracket for critics. The fact that it's in the 70s is a very shocking to me, but we'll find out why.
Yeah, I mean, look, this movie was nominated for... it won 5 Academy Awards.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of weird, and it was nominated for 12. Kind of weird for a movie with that much critical praise to be so low, but... it doesn't matter because none of that matters because you guys are here listening to me and Alex talk about the movie. So what did we think? Do we give it a 78%? Maybe we give it a 80%. I don't know. We're about to talk about it. We're going to start off, of course. Alex gets to go first. Lead character, Maximus something. They're all named Maximus in this movie. Yeah. Russell Crowe is the lead character. What did you think?
Oh, he was fantastic. Maximus, dude, this dude was he was good. He had you know, the cool thing about his character was that he had a code, right? Like, he followed a code. He followed Dumbledore. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. He was the general for the Roman army, right? I think that's what it was. For a Roman army.
He was a general.
Yeah. So, like, he was awesome. Like, I was like, okay, he was good. And the thing with this movie does very well, they show you in the beginning how good he was. Right. Like, he was the guys that attacked from the back, which, you know, they had. So it was like very strategic way of fighting. And this dude was down and dirty, doing dirty work. And I loved it. I said, wow, this guy is pretty good. Then he wanted to retire. My man was like, yo, I want to go home. I want to, you know, become a farmer with my wife and my kid. And they're already setting up the seeds of, like, they're going to kill these bastards and you're going to be like really pissed off. And it happens. But we'll talk about that with the main villain. But I liked it. The fighting, Russell Crowe is very good. And I always said it, and I said it when we did the Superman the movie review and the Man of Steel. Russell Crowe, to me, is the Jor-El. He is Jor-El. He is so freaking good in this movie. I believed him all the way up till they killed his ass at the end of the movie. I was rooting for him. I was ready to grab my broomstick and jump into the movie and hit dudes with brooms all over the place and help my man get retire with his kids. Like, he was very good, and his character was just so believable. It's like some movies like this are not believable. Like, you don't get invested, and the only way you get invested in these characters if the lead character is a great actor that you could invest your time and you go, wow, my man is taking me through a roller coaster of emotions. Because I think, I'm telling you right now that towards the end of the movie, my eyes started to get watery when he got stabbed in the lung. I was like, oh man, this dude is just like, he could whoop his ass in 2 seconds, but he just used all his energy to do what he had to do. And now he's going to the gates of Valhalla, whatever they believed in, with his kids. And I thought it was good. I gave him a 5. He was really good in this movie.
Yeah, look, I mean, as far as the performance goes, he did win for Best Actor. He won the Academy Award, so I'm going to talk about the acting. He's fantastic. So this is one of those, like, it's an old ancient Rome type, you know, I think it's 180 AD at the time, at the beginning. Yeah. So, I mean, this is like way, like almost 2000 years ago at this point. He plays a general who is really close with the Caesar at the time. Marcus Aurelius is the Caesar, and he's like the son he never had. He has a son, but he don't like his son that much. And he wants to name him as the new, like, Caesar, right? And then the goal, of course, will be, because there's some, you know, there's some politics in this movie, as most of these movies have, you know, the old politics. And he's supposed to make the Senate be in control, and it's a republic and all this stuff. So very interesting. And then, of course, the Caesar dies before this can happen. And you just know bad stuff's going to happen to this guy. He has a full arc. He has, you know, he's a character who you get behind immediately just from the opening war scene. To the moment you know that he's going to get betrayed, they take his family. It's kind of brutal. Like, they don't show, they kind of show the kid. I mean, he gets trampled by horses.
Yeah.
And they don't show the wife die, but he shows up to his house and they just show their feet hanging. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is kind of rough. And then he has, you know, his return to get revenge. And at the end of the day, it's a revenge story. And who doesn't love a good revenge story? You know what I mean? It has a little bit of everything. His character goes through everything, the whole gamut. There's love. Because he has the ex, the sister, they used to be in love, I guess, before he met his wife and stuff like that. And she's played by Connie Nielsen, she's great in this movie, too. We don't really talk about her character. It doesn't fit in our guidelines, but she's really good. But yeah, 5. I mean, this is a lead character in a movie like this that you get behind and you want him to win. So that's all you can ask for in a movie like this. So yeah, 5 for me. All right. Main villain now nominated for an Oscar. Didn't win. Joaquin Phoenix. As what was his name?
Commodus.
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 Yeah, Commodus. That's right. Yeah, what did you think?
He should have won Best Actor for Commodus.
So good at this.
He is such a dick that I was like, man, he is a... I'm not even going to say it because it's going to sound wrong again. But he's just such a dick. But he's...
When you use that, careful what you say next.
Yeah, pretty much. But he was really good. And another performance that was believable. Like, you hated him. And you could tell he was jealous of him. The minute he got into the thing, everyone was praising Maximus. And everyone was, like, chanting his name. But they didn't chant Joker. And you're like, oh, man, this sucks, you know, for him. Like, how is he going to, you know, Joaquin Phoenix's character is going to betray him. And you already knew it. Once he killed his dad with the chicken wing, you put him to sleep. I was like, all right, he was pretty much done.
Put him in the $1 million dream.
Yeah, he put him in the $1 million dream. And it was crazy because he gave him that one line. I was like, this dude is gonna be the dick and just screw my man over. And he was like, I'm gonna ask you once, and this is the only time I'm gonna give you this deal. He was like, will you help me, whatever, and he just walked away. And he was like crying all like a little bitch. And I was like, oh man, I was like, man, somebody, you should have just took it, bro. But the minute he went and he started putting on his armor, my man with the crooked eye and all these like action movies that he's bad, he was like, you know, arrest him. And I was like, these bastards. I was like, first of all, this is the only beef I got with it, right? This dude just finished coming out of war, right? Whooped mad people's asses, right? The dad, Dumbledore, dies, and you're like, oh, man, well, this is crazy, right? And all of a sudden, his men was going to take him in to chop his head off. I was like, what? Like, how does that work? Like, how's the loyalty of his men are going to go, yeah, we're going to chop his head off? Like, that got me irked. Because I was like, this dude saved almost all these people's asses, and he was talking about them to get food and let them go home. And it was just like, that, you know, Joaquin Phoenix was like, get, you know, kill him and his and the wife, and none of them even thought about it. Like, I was like, oh, well, that's kind of
a different time.
I guess. Know,
Caesar said, the ruler says, do this and you do it, or you probably will die and your family will get killed. So I get your point from a movie perspective, but for a historical perspective, I get why they just kind of did what, you know, go along with it.
No. I mean, look, again, it worked. And I love towards the end, you know, he knew he was not going to beat him on a one-on-one fight. I mean, let's be honest. This dude was whooping every gladiator this guy threw at him. He knew he wasn't going to win. And he stabbed him to cheat, which pisses me off when I saw it. He got me really angry. And I liked the fact that the guy that was under him saw that he cheated. And he was like, oh, hell no, you're not going to win against Maximus like this. He was like, everyone, shield your shit and let him fight mano a mano. And he lost. I mean, even while he had one lung working while he was filling up with blood, I bet. He whooped his ass. And I was like, yeah, you got it, choker. I loved it. Joaquin Phoenix, again, that's another five. He was amazing. And him and the way he treated his sister was like, shit, bro. I was like, damn. You're
creepy.
Yeah, he wanted a boner.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, he is the definition of slimy in this movie. He's a slimy villain. Joaquin Phoenix absolutely knocked it out the park. I mean, you're talking about, like, for me, this is my favorite performance of him, not Joker. I think he's better in this than he was in that. Personally, he absolutely nails it. His speech that he gives with his dad, I love the one where right before he puts him in the sleeper hold. Like, I love the dialogue there where he's like, you know, I have all these virtues and none of them were on your list. You know, like, pretty much what you want is not me. And then the dad's like, yeah, but your failings are my failings. And he's like, I don't want to hear that. And he chokes him out. I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. And then, yeah, he gives him one chance to take his hand. He don't take it. He orders his whole family to die, him to die. He was not playing games. He's horrible to his sister. He literally was like, you're going to give me an heir and it's going to be pure blood, which means he's going to sleep with her, which is disgusting. He was weird. He was like, come lay down with me. Give me a kiss. I'm like, what's wrong? What is this guy? He was like, you know what he was? He was like a child that had a lot of power. And that is, to me, it worked. It works in this movie. You know what I mean? Joaquin Phoenix was great. Plus, he did all the training to fight. So he could fight. Now, he couldn't beat Maximus, but they do go one-on-one. You know, as far as an action movie goes, the main villain fights the main hero in this movie.
Yeah.
He cheats because he knows he's not as good, but he's a good fighter. It's shown that he knows how to fight. So I thought that was good. I loved him. I also gave him a five. He is, you get so mad at him throughout the whole movie that it's like, this is a great villain. It's a great villain. He's evil. He's weird. He threatens his sister. He threatens his nephew. He wants to. I mean, he's just horrible.
But remember, the line that the guys said was, you know, the guy who's leading us never won a battle on field. That was very powerful because because everyone knew once he took off his helmet and everyone knew it was Maximus, everyone knew how many battles this guy won for what happened. You know, like, this wasn't never happened if it wasn't for Maximus. So, like, they were like,
that scene was so gangster.
It was mad. He was like, take off your helmet. He took it off. He was my name.
You turn your back to me? Take off your helmet and tell me your name. And then when he does, you can see it in Joaquin's eyes. He's like, oh, crap. This guy, and the way he says, like, I am Maximus, and you killed, and I won the battle. And then the whole crowd is like, let him live. Let him live.
Yeah, because he was like, you killed my wife and you killed my son. And he's like, I'm here for revenge. His eyes was like,
so good.
He was like,
he was going to throw that spear. Remember when he's holding the spear? He looks like he was going to throw it up in the thing.
Yeah. Ooh,
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, that scene, it was very powerful. Like, there was a lot of, like, very, I'll talk about it during the overall and stuff, because there was a lot of good, powerful scenes throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Action.
Oh, my man. This action, look, it's a five. I'm not even going to hold back. It's a five. Though you got the war in the beginning was, like, freaking full on amazing. And then you have the gladiator fights, of course. And then the most powerful scene of the entire thing is him getting revenge for his son and his wife at the end. I mean, my man had one lung operating and whooped the dude's ass. So, honestly, there's not much I can say because it's just a war movie, but it was very well shot. Ridley Scott, he's very good at, like, again, I'm not a big, I mean, you always talk about it. I'm not big on Ridley Scott's, like, directing. I'm more of his brother style, Tony. because I'm more of that style of...
Tony's an action movie guy.
Yeah, so he's more my style. But Wrigley sometimes has some moments, and this one worked for me. I was like, this actually worked very well. Like I said, that big war scene in the beginning, I was like, this shit is crazy. When he's fighting on the floor, he's stabbing dudes, and I was like, yeah, man. I was really engaged. Him going, you know, like I said, him going through every stage of the gladiator once he hits the Roman Colosseum. I was like, this is crazy. You got tigers coming out and fighting this dude. Then they took out a guy from 5-year retirement to fight Maximus, and he whooped his ass in 2 seconds. And I was like,
the greatest gladiator ever. And he comes out and he gets
He got rocked all over the place. And I was like, yo, this is pretty good. And then, of course, the big, you know, big moment of the whole film is when he fights Joaquin Phoenix and he just whooped him. I mean, everyone knew he was going to whoop him in 2 seconds, but I loved it. I thought it was really good. Gave it a 5.
I think you said it all there. There's one exact moment where this movie gets a 5 for me every single time I see it. I love it. And that is during the first, well, when they first get to Rome, because first he's a gladiator out in like the outskirts in like some outside. Little town in like a little dirty Colosseum. And he wrecks over there too. Him and Jaimin Hunsu, my man Jaimin Hunsu's in this movie. Amistad, he's great. Well, by the way, the whole cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Not just Joaquin Phoenix and Russell Crowe, Jaimin Hunsu, Connie Nielsen, Oliver Reed, the guy who plays like his owner. Mm-hmm. I love that guy in this. You know, he's kind of a dick, but he has a heart and he ends up, you know, wanting to help him. Derek Jacobi, like this cast is great. The moment that always gets a 5, automatic, when they're fighting in Rome, Colosseum, and their guys are on the chariots and they're all going, everybody's fighting, and that one person falls down and that chariot wheel just cuts them in half. 5.
It was
automatic
a chick.
5. Yeah, it was a chick. It was a black lady, and she gets cut in half, and I love it every time. Like, yes, it just gets wrecked, absolutely wrecked. It's rated R, violence, blood, swords, spears, knives, crap like that, up close, gritty, dirty. Now, it's a 5. I give it a 5 also. It's not the most action, but there's a good amount, and it's all well done.
Yeah.
As far as Tony and Ridley, I see your point. I think Ridley Scott's a better director than Tony Scott was. But Tony Scott does the genre of action better on the whole. But he was a straight action guy, pretty much. Like, he didn't really do dramas or... Ridley does a little bit of everything. He'll do an action movie, a sci-fi movie, a drama, a biopic, a comedy. So he's a little more diverse. But yeah, Tony, I love Tony. We got to do more Tony Scott movies.
Yeah.
I think we got some... We do have a bunch coming up. But anyway, 5 for me, 5 for you so far. This movie's trending in a certain direction. I don't know where it's going to go because now we're up to storyline. What do you got?
So the storyline here, I love revenge stories. I love it. That's my bread and butter. I can eat it all day. But if it has to be done right for me to give it this certain score. And this movie did it right. It laid you out in the beginning how great Maximus is. You could see the jealousy unfold between Joaquin Phoenix and the people of Rome was loving Maximus and not him. He started to get jealous. And I said, oh, my God. Dumbledore was favoring Joaquin Phoenix, Maximus over his own son because he had the traits of, you know, all this stuff. And I liked it. I said, wow, this is pretty good. Then it happens, right? He dies and then kills his wife and kid. And you're like, you son of a bitch. I want my man to come back and get him. And I loved it. Let me tell you, the scene that he's getting away was freaking awesome because you started to get hype. Because I was like, man, you get on that horse and you go back to Rome and whoop some ass. That's what I wanted. But no, he went back home to see if he could save his wife and kid, but he couldn't. He was holding that burnt toe. He was like, why?
He was injured. Remember, he got hurt on the shoulder. He got sliced. He was injured. He was like, I gotta go get him. And I saw their black feet. Her black foot touched his lip. It was gross.
Yeah, it was. You saw the little. But
be careful, man.
Yeah. Be careful, man. You gotta get a tennis shot. But
be careful.
Yeah. Look, honestly, the story in general, I think it was really good. You got the corruption in the whole with the empire, you know, the emperor's like corruption. You had this whole Republican and Democrats or whatever the hell they were going with. And then you got the actual story in itself, which I think is just the most basic storyline in any of these things, is the vengeance between him getting his revenge for his wife and son's death, which worked very well. Look, I gave it a 5 because I was hooked from the beginning towards the end, and it executed every, for me, checklist in the storyline. It went off.
Yeah. If you guys listening haven't noticed over the course of our 168 episodes, one thing that we love here on the Action Movie Side Action Movie Guys podcast is revenge. We're into revenge. Big fans. John Wick, Man on Fire. We reviewed those. Revenge. Get revenge. This movie has revenge. And you know what this movie has? This is one of those movies that I think it just has a little bit of everything, but it does every single thing right for me. I think, you know, story-wise, not only do you have the revenge story, like I mentioned, you have the politics, and it's all done very well. It's not confusing. Sometimes, you know, when you're talking about, like, ancient historical dramas, and they get into some of the politics and things, and you're like, I don't really get it. You know, I don't know what's happening. This one is easy to follow. You know who's good. You know who's bad. There's clear lines. So in that way, it's very straightforward. But everything is executed so well. The performances, again, they're so great that it elevates the story to being, you know, I think especially Russell Crowe. He takes a character that could be very one note and makes him very great. And, you know, his whole storyline is, it's all what it's laid out. The villain storyline is very good. The sister storyline, she has her own storyline and it's very good. Every single thing is very good. And I don't have a problem with any of it. So I also gave the story a 5. I don't really have, there's nothing that I could point to. You know, the movie's 2.5 hours. And for me, it flies right by. Yeah. I feel like it flies right by. It does not feel 2.5 hours. It feels like 2 hours. So the pacing is great. I just love it. It's great. I gave it a 5 as well. So I'm pretty sure I know where you're going with this, but what's your overall?
Well, look, overall, it has everything you want. Music score is amazing in this movie. It goes very well with the scenes. Yeah, Hans Zimmer did a great job in this. The cinematography on Rome is freaking awesome. I know it was CGI, but it was actually really cool. To be honest with you, that Roman Colosseum looked legit. Like, I was like, this is really cool. I like the tiger scenes. Again, the storyline was so well done. And you're right. The pacing of this movie was so fast. And if a movie goes so fast, to me, that's a sign of a great film. I mean, there's not many movies that Braveheart was another one that just flew across. And that was a long movie also. So I liked it. And before we end this, I mean, we have 15. This thing had 106 nominations. Okay. Won 59. You know what? That's
cool. More than half.
Yeah, more than half. It won Best Picture, Best Actor Leading Role, Best Costume Design, Best Sound, Best Effects and Visual Effects. And those are the ones that won.
Just at the Oscars. Yeah. Just at the Oscars.
Not the Oscars. Yeah, those are the ones that won for Oscars. Like, that is big, and that's telling. So, with that said, I gave it a 5, because this movie is amazing overall.
Speaking of Oscars, yeah, Ridley Scott was robbed, didn't win Best Director, Joaquin Phoenix didn't win Supporting Actor. Probably both should have. Now, here's the thing. This movie, not only is it just great, but it's so influential, because if you really think about it, this genre of movie in the year 2000 was, I won't say dead, but it was definitely sleeping. These kind of movies were made in the 50s and 60s, you know, Ben-Hur and Spartacus and this historical epics, right? You can't really, maybe a handful from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, right? Braveheart, like you mentioned, is one. Besides that, 80s, there's no like big historical epic movies outside of fantasy. Like, there was fantasy films, but like realistic, historical. It was borderline a dead genre, right?
Yeah.
After Gladiator hit, and it was so good, well received, made all that money. I mean, right after this, you had, I'm just reading this thing.
Like Clash of the Titans?
Last Samurai, Troy, The Alamo, King Arthur, Alexander, 300, Kingdom of Heaven, Robin Hood, the one with Russell Crowe also. Like, the historical epic sort of had a renaissance because of this film. So it was very influential as far as the genre it was in and kind of resurrecting it and reviving it. Again, I love it. I did not expect rewatching it that this would be my scores, to be honest, because I remember thinking, there's a couple things, but I haven't seen it in years. I don't know, because I'm getting a little older. It just hit me a little different. I also gave it a 5. So only the second time in 168 episodes that we both gave a movie the 25 out of 25.
Yeah.
Still. The other one was Terminator 2. So Terminator 2 and Gladiator so far, the only perfects for both. But, you know, with our categories, I didn't see any holes. Like, every single thing we talk about was great in this movie.
No, I agree. I mean, I couldn't see nothing. The movie was just spectacular, and I saw it digital. I just didn't want to go in my basement and get the 4K.
And the 4K digital looks great.
It looked amazing. I was like, this thing was clear. Sounded very loud. I didn't need to crank it up or nothing. It was spot on.
That Hans Zimmer score, you touched on it. You know what's funny? Listening to it, you could hear a lot of like
the pirates,
like Transformers, pirates. Yeah, there's like a lot of moments that sound like those two movies.
Yeah.
And Hans Zimmer didn't do Transformers, but you could tell like the guy, I think his name was Steve Jablonski. You could tell he listened to this score and was probably like a big fan. And then Hans Zimmer, he did Pirates like 2 and 3 and 4. He didn't do the first one, but you can hear some of the elements. This score is so freaking good. This is one of the best. It's one of the best scores. And he didn't win either. Travesty. He was nominated for best score. What won? I don't know. But anyway, perfect from both of us. So that being said, next week, we got a couple of new episodes for you. First, we got another Roger Moore Bond film, potentially my favorite of all time, Moonraker. And then, wrapping up the 2000s, before we get to the 2010s, we have a little action comedy, which we don't do a ton, but, you know, action comedy, little Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Okay, spoiler alert, I like this movie. I've seen it a lot of times. I've been a little while, but I'm looking forward to seeing my wife, Angelina, when she's still in her prime. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So looking forward to that one. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm hoping for a good week. Moonraker, please. Don't let me down.
Maybe. Look, the winner of 2001 soundtrack was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, come on. I don't even remember that
I've never seen that movie. So
I've seen it. It's good, but travesty. Robbery.
Lies.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon inspired Transformers and Pirates? I don't think so.
No.
Gladiator.
The Gladiator. He's stupid.
That's right.
Oh, my God. All right, guys. If you want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflix. Head over to our official website to www.geeksandflix.com if you want to check out our Action Movie Guys podcast in its entirety, from number one all the way up to 168 with this episode. And of course, we have some videos we're still pushing out, so you guys can have the video and audio simultaneous on the website. Other than that, I'm your host. Oh, he's your host.
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.